You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We are live at our studios here in Superior as today marks exactly 1 year since explosions at an oil refinery here. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm WPR's reporter in Superior, Danielle Kading. Federal investigators say a valve failed on April 26 last year, creating an explosion at Husky Energy that sent debris flying into an asphalt tank. It sparked fires that burned for hours, and it triggered an evacuation for thousands of people.
And today we're looking back at how emergency crews responded to that crisis. We'll take stock of what's happening in the greater community of Superior today, and we're going to look forward as the energy company rebuilds and people who live here really wrestle with Superior's relationship with the refinery.
We're joined in studio by two leaders tasked with keeping people safe. Steve Panger is chief of the Superior Fire Department. Chief Panger, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Keith Kessler is the director of emergency management for Douglas County. Thanks for being here, Keith.
You bet, Danny.
So, Chief Panger, a year ago today, where were you when you got the call that you had to respond to an emergency at Husky?
So, I was downtown at the government center when 10 o'clock the call came in. I would say immediately we knew it was something real and something serious. Heard Engine 2 coming down Hammond Avenue. And then immediately I left for the government center and went back to headquarters to take care of the incoming crews, which I knew were coming in from the callback crews. The timeline on this was the initial call came in at 10. We felt we had a pretty good handle on the first part of the scene, handling any injured. The ERT crew for Husky, the emergency response team, they took care of the initial fire very quickly. So we felt like we had a pretty good handle on this, and then we had that secondary fire that started about noon. And that really is what started the large incident that lasted for many hours.
Until almost before 7 o'clock. And, mm-hmm. and Keith, where were you that day when you heard about it?
I was at the government center. I had left a meeting, and I was walking back to my office. And as I walked in my office, I could hear the radio traffic and knew that it was one of those pucker factor days. It just happened I was alone in my office at that day. All of my staff had taken time off. I made a call to my regional director for the state in Spooner. And the phrase I typically use is, this is the real deal. That's the trigger point where they know we have something really serious. And he started up here. I called my counterpart from Bayfield County, and she started over. I headed out to the refinery. Before I got to the refinery, my staff, Dave Sletten and Deb Stein, both contacted me that they were on their way in. They recognized that we had a big problem from what they were seeing and hearing. And I asked them to get our emergency operations center open, make the notifications. I called our county administrator. And then I met up with the battalion chief that was functioning as the IC out at the refinery.
Where was the emergency operations center?
That is in the basement of the government center in a secure area.
So, Keith, computer models showed the zone you needed to evacuate, but the message wasn't communicated properly. What happened there?
Well, the original zone was put out, but I think where perhaps there may have been some of the confusion concerning the area around the north side of the refinery is we put out a message that we wanted an area 10 miles long and 3 miles each way, essentially 6 miles wide, to the south, evacuated, and a 1 mile area around the north side of the refinery. And I believe the confusion came when, why would we go 3 miles each way but only 1 mile to the north? Well, the reason was the wind. I have no real heartburn. I would rather see more people moved out of potential harm's way than not enough. It's just kind of one of those things that happens. When you're in an event like that, there's a period of time on the front end that you've got a ramp-up period, and it gets very difficult to get everything under control. Social media plays a part in that. We need to direct people to go to official websites because once stuff hits social media, it can spin out of control. I don't think that nothing was done intentionally to mislead or direct people in the wrong area. I think everyone had the best intent. And at the end of the day, other than the people who were at the refinery, we didn't have any significant injury or issues.
We're talking about the Husky Energy Oil Refinery fire 1 year later. Steve Panger is Superior Fire Chief, and Keith Kessler is the Director of Emergency Management and Communication for Douglas County. And you are part of our conversation on this one-year anniversary of the fire at Husky Energy here in Superior. What would it take for you to feel safer around the refinery? Would you prefer a switch from using hydrogen fluoride to something less toxic? What do you need to feel safe? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@WPR.org.
And Keith, you were talking about the confusion that took place, and there was an after-action review that occurred. So what's going to be different now moving forward to prevent that kind of confusion in the future?
Well, since that event, there's been several training sessions. We brought in one of the key leaders of Homeland Security out of Minnesota that has a tremendous amount of experience in this stuff, and both the elected officials and emergency responders from both sides of the bridge met up at the public safety building in Duluth, and they helped us learn a lot about how we all need to speak together with one unified voice. We've also hosted public information officer training in our EOC for our local folks, and we've had folks from both sides of the bridge attend that. The unfortunate part is I've been around long enough to know that no matter how much training we do, we will still have challenges in the future. That's just the way it goes. You can only control so much.
One of those challenges, Chief Panger, is over hydrogen fluoride. The United Steelworkers want refineries to phase out hydrofluoric acid, and the group says it puts more than 26 million people at risk if it's released. Can you tell us what happens in that situation?
Well, I think it is important to know from the citizens' perspective and that they understand that. I mean, this conversation is a good conversation to have. It's a policy issue. We don't really get to choose as a fire department what comes through our area. For the most part, it's our job to be prepared in the event that something happens. Obviously, our primary focus is prevention and make sure it doesn't happen. I know people became aware of this mostly because of this incident, and because we made them aware of it, effectively, the evacuation zone was based partly on that. We've known that HF is there as long as the refinery's been there. So we are equipped to respond to that, and then we're engaged with Husky, making sure we're preventing any accidents.
For remembering the Husky Energy Refinery blast 1 year later, Superior Fire Chief Steve Panger is here, along with Douglas County Emergency Management Director Keith Kessler. You as well, 800-642-1234. We'll get back to this in a minute on the Ideas Network. The Husky Energy refinery blast 1 year ago today sent plumes of noxious smoke into the air. This is the morning show on the Ideas Network, and we're live in Superior, Wisconsin, the place where it happened. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Danielle Kading, WPR's reporter based in Superior. No one died, but the explosion and fires hurt 36 people and left community members contemplating how close they live and work to a refinery that uses dangerous chemicals.
Were you here when the explosions happened and the fires started? Were you forced to evacuate? How did you stay safe? And what's life been like for the past year? Join in the discussion at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org.
Our conversation about public safety in the aftermath of Husky continues now with Douglas County Emergency Management Director Keith Kessler and Superior Fire Chief Steve Panger. Before the break, Steve, you were talking about being prepared to deal with a chemical like hydrogen fluoride. What has prepared you to respond to situations like this?
I think this what this incident really highlighted for us is we've been working. We've created a partnership about 6 years ago with that area, with Husky, Enbridge, and Plains Midstream. We know that's an area that we have to concentrate on, and there's a heavy petroleum base industry there, so. A typical fire department, municipal fire department, is not necessarily equipped and trained to fight that kind of fire. So what we did was create a partnership, a working partnership with that group, and we've worked for 6 years to make sure that we have the training. Our firefighters are trained industrial responders. We have the equipment. And we have a good plan for responding to those types of incidents. And what this really highlighted to us, it was a big question whether we were prepared or not.
How often do your groups get together to talk and to drill and do drills?
First of all, part of the training regiment is four firefighters go down to Texas every year. We send four firefighters down, specialized training in this very type of firefighting, whether it's, we call it rack systems that you would typically see in a refinery or tank fires. That's the kind of training with petroleum-based products. We also, the refinery, their ERT team, trains every month, and then we train 3 to 4 times with them on their facility, whether it's fire or hazmat or confined space or rescue training. All of those areas we may address. We also train on the Enbridge facility, and we invite Husky ERT members over there. We have a decommissioned tank that we've been using for a prop for the last couple of years. We do some training over there. So, in fact, today we have meter training, air monitoring training. We are integrating systems that we all have between Husky, Superior Fire Department, Duluth Fire Department, the National Guard. We're doing that training over at Lake Superior College to integrate our air monitoring system. This will give us the ability to set up monitoring immediately and over a wide area. Those sort of things help us set up a decon or hot zones, warm zones, and help us monitor that immediate area.
Okay. So a lot of training and collaboration to prepare for an emergency like this.
Yep, absolutely.
Keith, I'm told that you're the man with ice running through his veins. So how are you prepared to respond to an emergency like this?
Well, I've been doing this a long time. In my role as emergency manager, our office is charged with working with industry to determine and verify what they have on site for hazardous materials. We do what's called an off-site facility plan, and review that plan each year with each facility that has extremely hazardous substances. That plan identifies the quantities of the maximum quantities that were on site in the previous year. It outlines the maximum evacuation zones that we must have if the complete contents of a tank were to be released within a 10-minute period. It shows the resources that the facilities have on site and a list of what we call special facilities. And special facilities are locations that have people at them that may not be able to self-evacuate. I guess one of the things I'm proud of is I think over the last period of years, though that we are two states, two cities, and two counties, we are one community. The partnerships and the relationships that I've seen developed between the industry and our local responders and between the cities, the states, and the counties that border the river here and make up our community has been outstanding. The day of the event, my counterpart from St. Louis County called me, and I'm out at the refinery, and they just got the first fire out, and it's Dewey Johnson or Dwayne Johnson from St. Louis County called up, and he says, "Keith, what do you need?" And I says, "Dewey, we got it." The second fire took place. My phone rang, and I looked, and I saw it was Dewey, and all he said is, "How about now?" Mm-hmm. I mean, they were ready to come. You know, that was my counterpart. My counterparts from the surrounding counties came and assisted. The community and the northwest corner of the state is we're all joined at the hip. A lot of times people at the state level ask me, "How do you make it work up there?" And I said, "We do not have enough money to do it alone. We need to work together and we need to share resources." And I think the things that Chief Panger has talked about with industry and the fire department working across the bridge really demonstrates that we may have some really unique things going on up here with our partnerships. The fact that people can check their egos at the door and do what needs to be done to accomplish the common goal that's good for everybody.
Working across communities and state lines.
That's very true. I think that incident really highlighted that. There was agencies coming in from both Minnesota and Wisconsin from a long way, a long distance, and they were here very quickly.
And you knew how to work with them?
We not only knew how to work with them, we've already worked with them. We've trained with them. We've conducted exercises with them. A lot of relationships there. And I was really proud to see how the agencies really came in and helped out and how quickly they got here and how easily and seamlessly we are able to, you know, basically, you know, work together.
Well, let's try to get a call in here now. Tom joining us from Burlington. Hi, Tom.
We had our church here, St. Mary's, burned down about 25 years ago. It had a roof fire, and then it almost very much like Notre Dame Cathedral. But we didn't have enough equipment to put out the fire. It wasn't big enough, or snorkels couldn't shoot the water in or out or whatever. Do you recommend maybe we can get a statewide thing, maybe both states to get together and figure out how can we prevent these or be prepared for these big church fires? We have these beautiful churches here that are old and flammable.
So it sounds like in rural areas, Chief Panger, it's difficult to have the resources to put out fires?
Sometimes it is. It's three-part. It's staffing. You know, do you have enough people, boots on the ground? Do you have the equipment? Do you have the water supply? We're fortunate in the city we have all of those things available as you get out towards outside the those urban areas out into the county areas. You have less of those resources available. Structures like that are difficult. They're old. They don't have sprinkler systems. They're wide open. Once a fire gets in there, it's really difficult to stop them from spreading.
We have to wrap up here pretty quickly, but Keith, Husky says it's committed to listening to people's safety concerns. What would you recommend they consider if they were to find themselves in this kind of situation again?
Well, that's a question that I'm not sure I know how to answer. When you say find themselves in that situation, are you referring to like
an explosion, a refinery fire? Blast of this nature?
I believe that they will continue to make their facility add additional safety features. I believe they will continue to work with our community, our emergency responders. The partnership has been good. I think this has probably made it stronger. It's not our position to tell industry what to do or how to do it. It's our jobs as emergency responders and planners to be prepared to deal with things in the event they go bad. And I think we've proved that we can do that.
Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Steve Panger is the Superior Fire Chief. Keith Kessler is Director of Emergency Management for Douglas County. Coming up, we hear perspectives from community members and from a former refinery worker who has worked with hydrogen fluoride. You're part of the conversation. What would make you feel safer as construction on the refinery begins in the fall? Maybe you live in another part of the state. What is your take? Call in at 800-642-1234. This conversation on Husky 1 year later continues after this news update on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show coming to you from our Superior Bureau. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. 1 year ago, fires tore through the Husky Energy Refinery and sent plumes of toxic black smoke into the air for miles. It really was an unforgettable day for residents of Superior, Duluth. It was unforgettable for our WPR reporter, Danielle Kading, on the ground here in Superior. And Danny, for the rest of the hour, we're going to hear from some of the many people you've talked with over the year as you continue to follow this. And I know that it's hard to generalize, but how have the residents of Superior come to terms with this? What's the mood been like?
I think the mood is pretty mixed. First off, I think a lot of people here feel that this is a fact of life. You know, we live in an industrial area. We have the ports. We have the rail. We have the oil refinery and the Enbridge oil terminal. So for a part of the community, it's just getting back to business and moving on and doing better next time. For another part of the community, I think there's this lingering sense of anxiety or uncertainty about whether this could happen again, if they can trust Husky to put in the kind of safety procedures or practices necessary to prevent anyone from being at risk of being impacted by some of the chemicals and fuels that they deal with there at the refinery.
You recently talked to someone who used to work at the refinery when it was still owned by Murphy Oil. Can you tell us about her?
Yes, I talked to Molly McCarthy from Brule. She worked there for about 20 years. She's retired now, but she gave me her take on the outcome of the blast last year. So let's hear a little bit of that.
Considering there was a bunch of people there, you know, and turnarounds are hard times because there's always volatile situation, a lot of people there. And they got really lucky. Nobody died. There was some injuries. And just the fact that they can rebuild.
So turnarounds are hard times. I mean, this refinery was trying to be basically taken down so they could do some maintenance on it.
Yeah, they were preparing for about 5-week maintenance period. And about 4 hours into that last year, they experienced the explosion. What I took away from the exchange with Molly is that it was that kind of perspective that I was talking about before, that this is a fact of life. You know, she said that it didn't bother her working with the hydrogen fluoride alkylation unit at the refinery, which she did, that she just had a healthy respect for that chemical, and you just always knew you had to be really careful and you had to take great precaution working there. So it was something that was just a you know, general day-to-day business for her.
Yep, just part of the work. What did we hear from current employees of the refinery? Have you been able to reach them?
You know, I have talked with a couple of people who have said that they were employees of the refinery, but they declined to speak with me. You know, I can only speculate as to the reasons why they would decide not to. When I was at the Husky Town Hall meeting on Tuesday last week, we were requested not to speak to the employees, and the reason given was that they don't know as much about the plans to rebuild. And, you know, I'm sure for a lot of families and workers, they don't want to encounter the type of pushback that the refinery is definitely receiving in the community.
So at this town hall meeting, what did the company want to share? What was that like?
They wanted to share their plans for the rebuild. It's going to be a $400 million project. And they were basically laying out a bunch of different things. The safety measures that they're going to put in place, the economic impact of this refinery.
360 jobs perhaps created?
That would be in the construction period. Okay. The refinery itself usually has about 200 employees that work there. So during the rebuild process, there would be more people on the site.
Uh-huh.
And for people that live and work in the trades, that's a good thing. That's a benefit to families who may travel long distances otherwise to get that type of work. So they see that as an economic impact for the community.
But hydrogen fluoride still part of this rebuild?
Yes, it is. And that was something that the Superior and Duluth mayors had asked the refinery to transition away from. You know, I spoke with Rob Simons. He is the chief operating officer at Husky, and he kind of laid out their reasons as to why they decided to stick with this chemical. He said that they had examined whether or not they should get rid of it altogether. But here's what Rob Simons had to say about their
decision. Is the gasoline that we all use in our cars today. So in reformulated gasoline, the alkylate is fundamental. So if we took the unit out, we couldn't make gasoline, and that would essentially make this refinery non-viable for us.
So making the refinery non-viable for us, this is a really important chemical.
Yeah, essentially they're saying that they couldn't do business without it, or that it would change their entire business if they transitioned away from it. There are a couple of other options that Husky could consider as far as catalysts that are used in the refining process. One of them is sulfuric acid. But when I spoke with Rob Simons about that, he said that that would bring in an entirely new set of risks. They would have to build a sulfuric acid plant. They would have to treat the acid and remove it. And then you would go from seeing one truck a year coming through Superior with hydrogen fluoride to maybe one truck a day. So a different set of risks. Another option that people in the community would like to see them pursue is what's called isoalkylation technology. Basically, it's using ionic liquids as a catalyst. So it's a non-acid substance to produce high-octane gasoline.
How common is that among refineries?
It's not common right now. There are refineries who are testing it out. And putting, there is a refinery out in Salt Lake City right now that is looking to transition an HF unit out there to this isoalky technology. It's not widely used at the present, but it is being seen increasingly as an emerging technology that could be used, that could be safer for communities who have to live near refineries.
We're looking at the Husky Oil Refinery blast 1 year later on today, the anniversary. Danielle Kading is our guide. She is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Superior, and she's been covering this since the day of the disaster 1 year ago. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What would it take for you to feel safer around the Husky Refinery as reconstruction begins this fall? How do you feel about Husky continuing to use hydrogen fluoride in its processes? How do you want to see elected officials hold Husky accountable? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So what is Husky committing to increase safety at the refinery? What are some concrete steps that you're hearing?
So they are going to install a rapid acid transfer system. Basically, what that involves is if there were some sort of release or a leak of the hydrogen fluoride tank, it would immediately transfer that chemical within 10 minutes to another tank to prevent any kind of release. They're also installing additional water safety measures or mitigation measures that may include more water cannons, more water curtains. They also have already installed leak detection. It's a laser detection system that they've put in place. So they're taking a number of steps, including even a physical barrier around this tank so that
And none of this infrastructure was here before?
Or the water curtains and the water deluge system has been in place. And that worked as it should have in the explosion. The refinery has said that there was the tank wasn't compromised and there was no release of that acid.
Well, do people here agree that Husky has a good plan, that they're listening to the community's concerns?
It's mixed. I would definitely say that people who... I can't say, I guess, for the most part for workers because I haven't talked to them, but it seems like people who work at the refinery feel that this company has been very upfront, that they've communicated a lot with the trades in the area about their plans and their concerns. And but not everyone feels that way. Here's Andre Latender from Superior.
As I was saying to some of the folks at Husky, is like last year on April 25th, you guys went to bed thinking everything was all good. And on April 26th, it wasn't. And could that happen again? You're going to tell me no, it couldn't? Of course it can.
Of course it could happen again. Was that a voice you heard at the town hall or at the town hall last week?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Andre lives in Superior near the university, which would have been in the safe zone because of the initial evacuation, but as we have already heard, that it was extended. But people have concerns. They have uncertainty. They have anxiety. They want to know specifics in instances where there might not be any, because when you have an emergency, it's hard to predict what's going to happen. You know, a lot of it depends on the weather, too. You know, which way the wind is blowing that day, of which areas of the city would be evacuated if there was a potential release. So it's hard to give people the answers that they want to hear. It's hard to reassure them that they're going to be safe when they've been through something.
When we were talking earlier with Superior's fire chief, it became clear to me, at least, that these firefighters know their way around the Husky facility, that this is not a blind situation.
Absolutely. They have done so much work through the partnership that they have with Enbridge and Husky and Plains Midstream. You know, I think people have this sort of idea about Superior that they were totally unprepared for this, and they were not. They had been doing this partnership, as the fire chief had said, for, I think, 5 to 6 years now. And if people remember, we also had the scare with oil trains several years ago. So they've been training industrial firefighting. They've been doing all of these things to prepare.
Talking this hour, looking back with our own Danielle Kading, who stays with us. She's WPR's reporter in Superior as we continue to cover the aftermath 1 year later. You can join in 800-642-1234. What's your take on this anniversary? What changes do you want to see? Call in, tweet us. We'll be back in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. One year later, we're remembering the Husky Energy oil refinery explosion and fires. It is the morning show coming to you live from our Superior Bureau. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And we're staying with our reporter in Superior, Danielle Kading, who has talked to so many people over this past year and hearing some of her reporting this hour. And Danny, you talk to people who live in Superior and the surrounding communities, but what about industry professionals? What is their take on safety at the refinery?
Well, they feel encouraged by the steps that Husky is taking. They see that Husky has been a good partner, that they've heard nothing but positive things about the way that they've interacted with employees, about the way that they've been interacting with contractors. I spoke with Kyle Bukovich, and he's the president of the Northern Wisconsin Building and Construction Trades.
Just like anything, when an incident happens, there's always new ideas on how we can make stuff safer. And I think with all the trades being in contact with Husky, I think there's going to be a good plan going forward.
So on this rebuild, the trades will really need to step up and be part of that as reconstruction begins.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to a year ago, Kyle had said that there were about 500 to 600 people contracted to work at the refinery during this maintenance time. So they're looking forward to the refinery moving forward and reconstructing the facility and see it as an asset to the community really just an economic boost for the area.
Because a lot of contract jobs rely on that. And if you take Husky Refinery out of the mix, that can perhaps impact your bottom line.
Yeah, it's a lot of families involved in this kind of work. You know, they may have to travel great distances. You know, if you're a pipe fitter, for example, you might have to travel to work being done on a pipeline elsewhere in the country if there's no project in your immediate area. So for them, it's a way to stay at home with their families and provide a living for them.
Husky Oil Refinery is the only refinery in Wisconsin?
The only one, yeah.
Has it always been that way?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, just because the sense that here in Superior, you know, people know this refinery. It's been here for a long time.
Yeah. More than 60 years.
More than 60 years. So it is identifiable, you believe, in the community?
Yeah, it's just a part of the community, and it provides jobs in the community. And sometimes northern Wisconsin is an economically depressed area, and the refinery is an employer, a significant employer for the city, as well as Enbridge and other industries in here.
Yesterday on our program, we had the mayor of Duluth, we had the Superior mayor, but the Duluth mayor called Husky's response to the explosion disappointing. What can leaders in Superior and Duluth do to hold Husky accountable?
There is not much regulatory authority that the city of Superior or the city of Duluth has over the refinery. They are regulated at the state and federal level. So it would be up to the state whether they would grant a permit for this rebuild project as they are considering right now. And it would be up to those federal agencies, whether it's OSHA on the worker safety front or the Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. Those are the agencies that oversee it. Now, if we're talking about Congress, in the past, they have called for a study of hydrofluoric acid in the early 90s, and the Chemical Safety Board recently asked them to revisit that study. So I think people who have the kind of power that some in the community would like to see to push Husky in a different direction than they're heading right now, it would definitely fall at Congress, at lawmakers' feet, federal lawmakers.
Well, let's look at state lawmakers for a moment from the area. What have they said about the refinery?
Well, I spoke to State Senator Janet Buley this week on Tuesday. She's a Democrat who represents the 25th district here in northern Wisconsin.
I would like to believe them, but they do have the responsibility to make the people of Superior as comfortable with that plant, that refinery in their community as I am with my gas stove.
And just to clarify, you know, we were talking about her opinion on whether or not she feels the refinery is safe and whether they should remove that chemical from the refining process. She said that it wasn't up to her to form an opinion on that, that this is used in a variety of industries. You know, it's not only used in refining. This is used in the pharmaceutical industry, in the electronics industry. It's used in aluminum production. So this has become a real focal point because of what has happened at the refinery. Not to say that it shouldn't be a concern among community members, because if it were released, it could impact an area surrounding 25 miles around that facility and part of St. Louis, Carleton, and Douglas counties.
So if Husky is unwilling to switch from hydrogen fluoride, and we're kind of seeing that now, and we don't have a way to make it safer, do you hear people concerned that refinery leaders aren't prioritizing the health of the community or listening to them?
Well, I guess I would point out that from Husky's standpoint, they are saying that they are going to make it safer and that they've operated this refinery for more than 60 years without an event until last year, that they are putting in all of these additional safety measures to make it even better. I'm sorry, Kate, yeah. Your question again.
Well, actually, I would like it if you could just for a moment to take your reporter's hat off. And you're a person, you live here. Mm-hmm. What sticks with you after a year of reporting on this emergency and in your own community?
What sticks with me?
Do you remember where you were on that day?
Yeah, I was here. I was in the station, and I was talking on the phone with Paul Damberg, the Northern Regional Manager, about a staff issue when I was getting a call on our office line, and a woman had called me, and she said there was an explosion at the refinery. And right before that, I had heard a loud boom, but that's pretty typical here in Superior, and it's hard to identify, you know, if because it could be something that's happening at the port, it could be something that's happening at the railroad, and it's not really that. But things seemed pretty normal until about 12 to 1 o'clock that day. And then, I headed over to the Superior Fire Hall, and I saw them in the station watching what was happening on TV and talking with people fighting the fire there at the refinery. It was nothing I had ever seen before. And people had started to evacuate. The streets were crowded. It was hard to get around in your vehicle. I was trying to get back to the command center, and I was trying to get to the station. It's something that you don't want to see your community go through.
How was looking at that plume of black smoke in the air?
It was impressive to look at. It was impressive to be there. I don't know why, but I didn't feel scared that something bad was going to happen. And maybe that's because of the relationships that I have with the people in this area, that I trusted them to do the jobs that they have been trained to do and to keep the community safe. And they had worked together to move people out of harm's way. And to see the cooperation in the community and across state lines, I feel good about that.
Danny, thank you so much for sharing your reporting.
Thanks, Kate.
Danielle Kading is WPR's reporter in our Superior Bureau, where we've been broadcasting from this week. Earlier, we talked with Superior Fire Chief Steve Panger and Douglas County Emergency Management and Communications Director Keith Kessler. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, live in our studios in Superior on this one-year anniversary of the Husky refinery explosion. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.